Dan Celian.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
But I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celian.
Welcome back, 844-707-5533. Welcome to all of you joining us here, 844-707-5533. Our phone lines are open. It's great to be here. As I mentioned, Craig Halgert, our ag reporter, he will be back at the end of the week. He is in China, and will be back here with us the end of the week. So the ag report, unfortunately, is an ag report that I've got to give you. Back to the old days. Remember when I used to do that? Some of you remember that I did that on a regular basis. I've lost my kind of hang of that, but since Craig came along. But nonetheless, let's get a look here and see what's going on with commodities. Before I even do that, let me just look at the markets. And right now, things are a little bit better from a Dow and S&P perspective. They are off their session lows. We'll see how long they stay there. The NASDAQ basically hasn't budged. It's been a negative 1.5% since we opened. I am very shocked by now. If I had to make a prediction before the market opened, I would have said sometime in about an hour after the market's open, we're probably going to see the NASDAQ down, you know, well over 2%. So I'm a little bit surprised. Seems like it is gaining a little bit of momentum on the positive side. I think people are starting to realize, analysts, that is, traders, realizing, you know what, I'm going to hang in there. I'm not selling. Things aren't going to be as bad as I think. They saw some of this immediate downturn in the chip makers as a buying opportunity, and I think that's exactly what has happened. So very interesting as we watch that, and kind of catching me for certain by surprise, because I didn't expect that. I thought that the slide downward was going to continue to get worse. Anyway, 844-707-5533. And let me just, if I can, there you go. So here's where we are right now. Oil. From an oil perspective, it looks like Brent, let me see. Here we go. Brent crude oil is down about a third or 1%. It's only down slightly. It's at 72.47. That's a surprise. I would have expected it to be up more based on the news that came out of OPEC yesterday and the meeting that they are going to continue to keep cuts. They're working on a deal. Russia put forth a deal that would allow 300,000 barrels to be cut a day throughout the end of the year. So it did sound like on what came out yesterday that they were still very committed to maintaining productivity cuts throughout 2019 through the rest of the year. That should have driven prices up a little bit higher than where we are. But they also indicated their concerns about global oil glut. They are concerned about that. So with China doing what it's doing, listen, the longer this trade issues, these trade issues continue to go, the more likely that China's economy is going to continue to fall. As the economy in China continues to fall, their demand for oil is going to drop. Their factory productivity is going to be down. Industrial productivity is going to be down. Their exports are going to be down. They're going to be importing less and less crude oil. They are the number one importer of crude oil. So there is going to be a demand issue. At the very same time, they were heading into a global glut. If that global glut does come to be, then we're going to see gasoline prices at the pump start to dramatically increase. They already are down to a one-year load, they are lower than where they were a year ago. We're looking at $2.85 per gallon of gasoline, something that we haven't seen, it seems like, in a very long time. But that is lower than where we were a month ago, a week ago. So oil prices, gasoline prices coming down at the pump. West Texas Intermediate down slightly, $62.98. So we'll see what happens with West Texas Intermediate. July gasoline prices are down 0.5%. So the futures market for gasoline down. So that's going to be good for us at the pump. Nat gas is up 2%. Boy, Nat gas has been on a tear, something I haven't said in about 5-6 years, probably longer than that. Don't remember, but it has been on somewhat of a tear. Precious metals are all positive. Silver, barely positive. Gold, barely possible. Gold sitting at $12.77. Oil sitting at silver sitting at $14.40. Copper down 0.5%. We can expect the copper is going to continue to drop if industrial production, productivity, and the economy in China continues to drop. So is copper. China, the number one user of copper, 52% of all the copper that is produced goes to China. Let's see, palladium down, and all the other, just get a look here. I would think that we might see in the industrial metal side some positive movement on aluminum and steel. None. So aluminum, steel, all the industrial metals in negative territory as well. The reason why I said I thought we would see that is mainly because of what is happening with Canada, which really hasn't happened yet. It's just been talked about. So maybe that's why we're not actually seeing it impact those commodity prices. 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you can. Also, you can put your question up on our, if you're viewing live on financialissues.org, I hope you are. I hope you've checked that out. Maybe you're watching live and you've got a question and you're putting that up there, then we can get to those questions as well. And we will do that if you are live chatting or putting your questions up. So check that out. 844-707-5533. Let's see if we can get to some of those. First, let me take a look here. Okay, I'm just looking at some breaking news, but nothing last committed. Now I've talked, covered pretty much all of that. Of course, one of the big news over the weekend was the commencement ceremony that you saw where, I'm trying to think of the, what was it, Morgan? What university was it? Oh, I'm trying to remember. Anyway, it's not in that. So I can't really comment on it without opening it. I'm not going to open it. But Morehouse College, where we see a hedge fund manager, multi-billionaire, fell by the name of Robert Smith. He is a hedge fund manager. He started in the banking sector. He's worth about $5 billion. Announced that his family would be paying off student loan debt for the 400 graduating seniors at his commencement address. And it was really funny to see the announcement because there was a couple of people kind of standing behind him that were like, what? Like, what did he say? They were kind of half paying attention. So it was not in the teleprompter. Apparently, it was something that caught everybody by surprise. I don't even think the students realized what he was saying, or probably those half of those that might have been daydreaming a little bit were probably wondering that as well. 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you can do it. 844-707-5533. We've got some questions here we'll get right back to after this.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
844-707-5533. There are a number of questions from Facebook and our website up there. Edward's asking a question, though, and I'll just address this, and I'm going to go to phones. But about CS-47 that was added to my list, I guess it's a question or a statement, but he says it does not make your cut as an income stock. Guess he's asking why. No, it doesn't. There's a lot of stocks paying good income that don't make the cut for an income stock. And I have a lot of stocks on my list that are paying good income that don't get listed as an income stock. That is one of them. It's a small cap, micro cap company. It's a very small company. It's very inconsistent, doesn't have a great track record. It's always going to be volatile. So you can't go by the income that it's producing right now when you look at a 5% yield, because look at the stock first and see how much it's down and see how little it costs to buy that stock, and you'll realize that 5% isn't much on a stock at that value. But nonetheless, it is too inconsistent. I'm looking for good, solid income-producing stocks that are consistently producing income, that have consistently produced an income for a long time, a number of years, that are likely to keep producing that income as part of their focus moving forward. This would not be one of those, and that's why that's not on the list. Let me go to Dennis, calling us from Missouri. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
Question for you about, I'm 66, going to be 66 here shortly. I wanted to move money from the IRA to the Roth.
Okay.
And I just wanted to make sure that I understood. You said that it would be okay to take those stocks that are down in the IRA and move those to the Roth. Would it be a good time to do that, or what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's always a good time to do that. I mean, I wouldn't want to move a stock that is up. Now you're going to pay tax on all the gain, not to mention,
right. You
know, all the money. So that doesn't make any sense. So, yeah. I mean, it would make more sense for the stocks that are down significantly to have a chance to come back up over where it's going to come back up tax-free.
Great. Okay, I just wanted to make sure I was clear on that.
Yes, you got it.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
For your partner, I really, really appreciate it. You're doing a great job.
Well, thank you, Dennis. I appreciate your partnership. Thank you so much. God bless.
You're welcome. Thank
yep.
you.
Right.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533, if you want to cue your call. Let's see. Robert is saying, I'm a partner, 64 years old, plan on working another 6 years, using 55-65 asset allocation model. I rolled over into Fidelity Traditional IRA a few Timothy funds. I wanted to add to them as well as add to the new Timothy ETFs. Fidelity has a minimum trade for these Timothy funds. They shouldn't have that for the ETFs. And you already own, I don't understand that. If they're going to charge a minimum on those funds that you already have, then I would, it's an IRA, I believe you said, a traditional IRA, there should not be any minimum. I don't think whoever you're talking to knows what they're talking about. You ought to hang up and call back again and see what they say. But that makes no sense to me. It shouldn't be happening. There is no fees, shouldn't be any fees for any amount on the ETFs, so ever. So that shouldn't be an issue as well. So I'm not sure. You might have to get with somebody at Timothy or with Fidelity and find out what the deal is for that. I don't know if there's any listeners out there, if they have experienced that with Fidelity or not. If you haven't experienced it, let me know. Just call in. So hopefully if Robert's still listening, he can hear that. But I would check that out. I have heard of it one other time, and it was last week, But I think last week was just on the ETFs, and it was probably they were looking at it as a mutual fund. They didn't even see it as an ETF, which could be the problem. There shouldn't be any minimum. And even on the mutual funds, there shouldn't be any minimum on a IRA account. Timothy doesn't charge a minimum on an IRA account. All right, Glenn is asking me, Dan, can you explain market value versus enterprise value? Well, can the enterprise value be used to determine whether a company is over or undervalued? No, can't be used for that. Shouldn't be, can be. You can use it for anything you want, I guess. But it shouldn't be used for that. There's a lot more to the under and over valuation based on that. So the valuation, too, is based on the market price, the stock market price. So you could have a stock that has a lot of market a lot of market enterprise value that could be priced, you know, 30 times the, you know, PE ratio, which would make it very overvalued, even if they had a very, very high enterprise value. So you can't use that alone by any stretch of the imagination. The market value, the valuation, the market cap value is based on the stock price, where it's selling, how many shares are issued, what the stock price is. The enterprise value is the enterprise, the value of the enterprise, the company. So the enterprise might be all over the world. They might have manufacturing plants in five different countries. They may be, you know, they might have a total just assets in manufacturing plants, real estate, so on and so forth, that is significantly high. And that would drive the enterprise. That would be the valuation of the company. In other words, if they were going to sell that company, it's the enterprise value that would come into play, not just the stock market value and the value that stock has because of sales, buys, and forward momentum and competition and, you know, a number of other things. So a little bit different. All right, 844-707-5533 or Facebook. If you're watching us on Facebook, put your questions up, and we'll get to those as well. Let me go to Steve. Steve's calling us from Texas. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Dan. How are you this morning?
Good.
I had a comment about the Fidelity. I rolled over my wife's IRA and was following your model also. And Timothy does have a Fidelity has a $2,500 minimum investment for the Timothy funds on their account of, to go.
Oops.
Yes, wrote you a question about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, I'm going to talk to Timothy about it and find out why they're not following the same practices. You know, it's odd because I've just heard about this recently, and you know, I know so many people that been in Fidelity a long time, and I've never heard this before. But I know that Timothy themselves charge a minimum if you're going into an investment account, not into an IRA account. But an IRA account, you can start at Timothy for $10 a month and not have any balance. So, but anyway, I'm glad you called and weighed in with that, Steve, so I can look into it. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you, Dan.
All right, Steve. Thanks. 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. Glenn, oh, that's the same Glenn. I already answered. Okay. Sorry, I thought it was a new question. 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you are welcome to do that. All right, somebody asked me about, I got an email about developing a list that would take somebody through some of the analytics that I do, you know, so that it would be a video in which that people could pay to see if they wanted to. I don't ever share that. That's intellectual property. I'm not sharing that. I have a company in Boston that's been trying to buy that from me now for 10 years, or maybe, no. Man, it's been longer than that. But, you know, he's been trying to buy that from me for you know, a long time. And, you know, I'm not ready to sell that. When I'm ready to sell that, then I'll be ready to cut all this loose and over to somebody else and retire. But I don't see that happening. That is what makes it distinctive. I'm not going to share that with people. It took me a lot of years to develop that process. First of all, it's a process that the average person, it would have to be about a 4-week long video that I could actually be teaching classes on every little aspect of one piece of analytics and why it related to a different piece of analytics. It would be literally impossible to shorten it and put it out on a 20-minute video. It would be impossible to do it. I mean, maybe somebody very, very, very savvy in the business, been in the business all their life, might be able to glean some good information from a short video, but not unless you understand a whole lot of other things that would be kind of prerequisites for understanding how it all works. It would be really hard to do. And not to mention, I don't have any interest in doing that. So, but somebody has suggested that. I appreciate the suggestion. They were looking at it purely as a way to fundraise for the ministry. Look, I'm going to leave most of my fundraising up to the Lord. If the funds don't continue to come, if people don't continue to be partners and all those kinds of things, then, I've always done things based on cash flows. And I know that's probably wrong. Someday I'll get to glory and find out just how wrong that is, maybe. But it is the only way I can hear the Lord speaking to me as far as, are we on the right track? Am I being obedient? Are we doing what we should be doing? If that starts to dry up, I think it's time for me to move on. And I'll just take it as that. So we'll see. I think the Lord's going to continue to provide. Obviously, I have an obligation in the ministry to continue to put out there what our needs are and what we're looking to have happen. And hopefully that will continue to happen. 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call, you're welcome to do it. 844-707-5533. Queue your call up right now. No one's in the queue. You'll be the first call we take as soon as we get back. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. Let me go to phones, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Candace. Candace calling us from Texas. Hey, Candace.
Hi, Dan. Good morning. I have been a partner for 2 or 3 years, but I just started investing last fall, and I had the portfolio tracker all nice and neat, you know, at first, yes. But I haven't maintained it, as dividends have been paid and all right. Sorts of wonderful things. And then I didn't do any more investing until last week. And so I did some more, and I don't want to enter that into the portfolio tracker until I straighten out the mess that it probably is already, since I haven't maintained it. So mm-hmm. Do you have a video or explaining how to straighten it out.
Okay, well, let me ask you this first off, Candace. Do you know whether were you reinvesting dividends, or were they just going into your money market account? Do you know that?
I don't know that.
Okay, all right. All right, so let me ask you another question. I'm trying. Do you have mostly individual stocks or mutual funds?
Individual stocks.
Okay.
And now the ETF, income
right.
ETF.
Okay. So have you noticed on your statement that do you have any shares of individual stock that look like, let's say you bought 100 shares of something. Is it any shares that say 100.1 six, seven, four, five shares? Is there any frag?
I have.
Is there any numbers? What's that?
And my question, I could have asked you this, but Fidelity wouldn't be able to help me. Would they be able to walk me through this?
No, I mean, so there shouldn't be anything you need to do is what I'm getting at.
Oh.
If you weren't reinvesting dividends, that's why I'm asking the questions to find out whether you were or not. If you weren't reinvesting dividends, there's really nothing you need to do except adjust your cash value, because your dividends are going into your cash.
Okay.
So if your portfolio ought to be, I don't know if you list your cash position on the tracker, do you?
I do.
Okay. So you just need to look at that at the end of each month or each quarter and adjust that.
Oh, okay.
Because there is no adjustments to make, because your dividends are going into your cash.
Okay, if that's the case, okay.
If that's the case, which I suspect it is, since you have individual stocks.
Okay. Oh.
So I don't think the only maintenance you should have to do is, just that, the cash, you know. And you know what? You could do it almost on a quarterly basis. You could do it every month if you wanted to. But if you just looked at your cash and said, okay, so my tracker says that I've got X amount of dollars in cash, and my statement says I have, you know, $120 more or $120 less, then just adjust your cash.
Oh.
So that's all you need to do.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, not hard at all. So you really don't, you shouldn't have to mess with that unless you're reinvesting shares, which dividends, which most brokerages on most individual stocks don't let you do.
Okay.
So you're in good shape. You're probably in good shape.
Oh, terrific.
Okay.
Well, wonderful. Well, thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome, Candace. Thank you for your partnership. Sure do appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you for all you do.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. God bless. Thank you. Okay, 844. I'm glad Candace called, because you think that, you know, you think, oh, geez, I haven't done anything. But, you know, it's really 100 shares is 100 shares. So or whatever you have in stock, and that's always in real time. So the portfolio tracker is always in real time. So, you know, at the end of the day today, or not even the end of the day, in another 15 minutes, that tracker is going to have a different number than it does right now, because I think it's 15 minutes, it recycles. So it's really, you know, not real time. There's a 15-minute lag. But so you never have to, you shouldn't have to worry about that. But, so I'm really glad Candace called, because there's a lot of other people that are probably thinking, oh, no, what do I need to do? So, anyway, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Kevin. Kevin's calling from Arkansas. Hey, Kevin.
Hey there, Dan.
How are you?
I'm grand.
Thank you.
I heard a story over the weekend on one of the weekend AFR programs, that there was an investment company that was set up to only invest in gay and lesbian corporations that supported the gay and lesbian agenda.
Uh-huh.
And after a five-year run, they've decided to go out of business. And I think the reason they gave was because there wasn't enough interest in the investments. I just thought I'd if you'd heard about that.
Some
good news.
Yeah, it is good news, and I knew about it when the when that fund started, which was, well, I won't go into all the details. It really didn't start specifically for that, so they got off to an okay start as new funds go. Then they got more definitive about the kinds of companies that they are investing in. And the left started, this was started by a group that is the same group that I fight with all the time about putting a gun to the head of corporate America to try to get them to start supporting this agenda. And one of the pieces of ammunition that they had this brainstorm idea of using was, well, you know what? We've got a lot of investors that invest in companies that only support this. Well, Timothy alone has $1 billion invested in just people that want to support the opposite of that. So there, now there's a real issue there. There's something that really wants to be, there's a growing population supporting being biblically responsible. So then anyway, they went out of business because once they started to articulate this, because they were dumb enough to think that if they told everybody they'd attract more investors, everybody said, that's really a stupid thing. I don't want to do it. Or didn't care about that agenda that much to invest in it. So, yeah, very interesting.
Or those people don't have money to invest.
Yeah, maybe. Could be. That's probably might be more accurate there, Kevin.
Have a blessed day. I just thought I'd give a shout out to your listeners about that.
Yep.
Win them a war moment.
Yep. Good stuff. Good stuff, man. I'm glad you did, Kevin. Thank you, brother. Yep. I really appreciate it. You know, this is, you know, and the opposite is what's happening. This is driving the left crazy. When you see companies like Timothy saying, not only can you fully diversify being only biblically responsible, not only are we as an organization sold out on doing that, we're not doing that trying to develop a niche market that can help some of what we're doing in other areas. That's not Timothy. Timothy is sold out for that. So Timothy says, we're going to do this because we're going to teach people how important this is to God, not to us, not to them, but to God. And they've done a great job. And now they've got ETFs doing the same thing. And they're growing leaps and bounds. And they've got over $1 billion worth of assets. And they just celebrated their 25-year anniversary. There's not a biblically responsible fund company in the world that's lasted that long. So they're doing a great work, and they've done a greater work educating the American Christians. So good stuff. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Sharon from Arkansas as well. Hey, Sharon.
Good morning, Dan. I really appreciate your show. I do a lot of driving, especially early in the morning, and I get to listen to you, and it's really been a blessing.
Oh, thank you.
I have a question for you. My husband and I have a house that we have up for sale.
Uh-huh.
No mortgage on the house. It's completely paid for, so everything that we get from it will be completely profit. Can I take that money and put it in a Roth IRA account?
No. How long?
Just go ahead and pay the taxes on it and be done with it?
Have you ever?
Biz Talk Radio is experiencing a brief loss of audio from our program host. Please stand by. Biz Talk Radio is experiencing a brief loss of audio from our program host. Please stand by. Talk Radio is experiencing a brief loss of audio from our program host. Please stand by.
I was definitely a skeptic at joining Samaritan Ministries because I didn't understand it. I was used to the traditional system, so I was afraid.
I thought, what if this doesn't work? I mean, we were going to give up this whole concept of insurance, you know, and we're going to trust God and his people. And I was like, yeah, well, of course.
What we pay every month is about 30% of what we were paying in insurance. And what we get back is so much more financially, of course, but spiritually and with the care of the community. You can't touch it.
We, as a body of believers, are living out New Testament Christianity. This idea that Samaritan has adopted from the book of Acts should permeate all parts of our lives, not just health sharing.
Over 60 years ago, a handful of Baptist ministers joined together to form a credit union whose mission was to help its members grow their money and become better stewards. Every time your ministry uses Christian Community Credit Union, it helps other ministries build churches, expand ministry, and reach out to the lost. Why not bank with a trusted partner that shares your values and beliefs? Christian Community Credit Union. Your money.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, we've got lines open, 844-707-5533. I was talking to Jim. Jim wants to open up an account for his grandson. Certainly, Jim, if you don't think this is money you're going to use for, if you want to use this money for his college or maybe something for when he gets married or if he has to move for a job or whatever it might be, maybe gets out of high school and wants to enter the workforce and he needs to buy, you know, a truck or whatever, you know, that would be great. If you're thinking that I want to set some money aside, that under all those circumstances I just mentioned, this money wouldn't be for that reason. This is money that I just want to leave him that he might have for his retirement. Then in that case, you could open a Roth IRA account in his name that do it in such a way that nobody would know it exists and you could be contributing to that. So there is a child form of a Roth IRA account that you could open, and that would be an option, and you wouldn't have any tax issues on that.
Well, if the child IRA, if I open that up and then say at some point he's 18, 25, and he decides to access that money, then would there be taxes on it for him once he took it out?
There would be penalty, too.
There
would be a 10% penalty and taxes, yes.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out something to try and provide for him after I'm gone, because his parents, I can't let his parents have access to it. They're not even married. And if they get the nickel, they'll spend a nickel.
Yeah, I got you. I'll tell you, I think, Jim, the best thing you could do is what I said to you in the beginning. I would have an account in your name and make sure that he is named as beneficiary on that account. And I would name in your will for any accounts that you know, he has, that you name, a fiduciary that would watch that money until he turns 18, just in case the Lord calls you home before he's 18. So that would be the option there to make sure that it stays out of the hands of somebody that would do the wrong thing with it.
Right. Okay. Well, I appreciate your information. Appreciate your help. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Jim. I'm glad you called. Let me go to Kevin. Kevin calling us from Texas. Hey, Kevin.
Hello, Dan. How are you? First of all, I wanted to tell you my wife and I enjoyed meeting you at the recent town hall in the Woodlands.
Oh, great. Good.
Glad you were there. You've covered I know you've covered this before, but now it affects me. But I have an old 401k from a previous employer, and I'm about to start a new 401k with my new employer. I still have it sitting in the old account. Your recommendation, sir, do I move that into my new 401k, or do I look at another vehicle to invest?
How old are you, Kevin?
53.
You're right on that borderline. I would probably move it into an IRA account that you manage.
Okay.
That you have. Definitely get it out of where it is, because you need to have options. And
okay.
I would roll that into, and now if you roll it into a traditional IRA, that's fine, no big deal. If you roll it into a Roth IRA, of course, there would be there would be taxes on it. But I would roll that out to a brokerage account, and where you have some options, you can put it into, you know, anything you want, and watch it and manage it. And you can maybe ask them if that can be put into, you want to roll it into a contributory IRA, so you even have options to contribute to it from time to time. And that would be the best of all worlds.
Okay, perfect. Okay, well, would that be, say, an E-Trade account? I've done that already, but I also have a Timothy plan. I have two traditional, my wife and I have two traditional IRAs with Timothy plans.
So you could roll it into the traditional at Timothy. You could roll it onto that if you want and continue to contribute. So you already have that open. Or, you know, if you roll it into a traditional at E-Trade, it would give you the options to both add Timothy and Timothy ETFs and any other stocks you might want to do. So it might give you a little more option by using the E-Trade account, since you're familiar with that.
Okay. All right, sir. Well, thank you so much, and have a great day and have a great weekend.
You're welcome. Thank you, Kevin. God bless.
All right.
Let's see. Let me go to Rob. Rob calling us from Texas as well. Hey, Rob.
Yeah. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Dan, I have bought the material stock number 30, that's kind of in the yellow.
Uh-huh.
And it's about to do a reverse split.
Right.
And it's going to break off an ag part of its business. I was curious, will that ag part of the business fall out of the S&P 500? Because
yes.
That happened on another stock I had, and they've dropped like a rock, and I bought more of it and averaged it out, and I kind of like having that. Will that be an opportunity to buy more of that?
Yes, it will be an opportunity to buy more of that. That stock, the company that you own, the MA30 company, that is going to be the parent company of the ag company. So they're still going to own it, but they are isolating their ag chemical side of things into this stock. And you will be able to have opportunities obviously you'll keep whatever you get of that, but you also want to buy some of that. The only rub here for me is that I'm not going to know if there's two companies that they're doing this with. I don't know for certain, and I won't know for at least two quarters whether they're going to be biblically responsible or not. I am assuming that they will be in all likelihood, but I don't know that for certain. So I say that to you because you might add to it, buy more, and if you're sold out like so many of us, it's about being biblically responsible, you might be at a place where you're going to want to sell it.
Okay.
So I would hold off on doing that. But yes.
Okay. Do you have time for another quick
sure.
question?
Sure.
Fire? Okay. I'm 69 pretty soon, but with the new tax system, you really don't, you have to have quite a bit of money to have a deduction for a charitable gift, like 30% or something. Some people say bundle them 3 years and give it for 3 years and get the break that way. But I was wondering, if would it be good to take that money out of an IRA type circumstance and just fund it from the IRA, because I'm retired and using that money, and donate that directly from the IRA presently?
Well, I like doing that, but you still have to pay the tax on it.
So you understand that, but it reduced the RMD ultimately.
Yes, exactly, and that's what I was just getting ready to say. That's why I like doing it. So I like spending that money and using it. And I try to encourage people that I am talking to specifically about doing a charitable gift annuity that they would use that money. Oftentimes they don't want to because they don't want to pay the tax. But I always think that's a better way to go.
I see. So, okay, that's great. That answers and gives me something to think about.
Thank you, Rob. I'm glad you called. I appreciate it. Folks, man, what a time. We see all this volatility. We see all that's going on. And this is the time to be doing a charitable gift annuity. I can only imagine, I don't know this for certain, but I've heard from a lot of people. I can imagine that most of you are thinking,